Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for standing by. Welcome to the AAK Press and Analyst Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you'd like to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today on Wednesday, the 30th of October, 2013. I'd now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Arne Frank. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Very welcome to the AAK's interim report call for the third quarter. I have with me here Peter Kåsholm, our CFO, and Fredrik Nilsson, our Director of Investor Relations, in a windy and gray Malmö, southern Sweden, southern Scandinavia. We want to say that the mood here is good. What we are proposing to you, ladies and gentlemen, is our traditional agenda. We like innovation, but maybe not too much innovation in how we present these things. What we are proposing is that we walk through the Q3 report for you. We go into some specific business area information. We touch base how our important company program, AAK Acceleration, now entering its final laps in its execution, how that's going. All that will probably take not much more than 20, maybe 25 minutes, and then we have ample time for Q&A if you so wish. Moving on, page three. We are happy and a little bit proud to present to you all our best quarter ever. Most of you know AAK well, so you know that AAK, we do have a seasonality that is not immaterial. Normally, statistically, our Q4 is our best quarter, but here we come with an all-time high in a Q3. Speaking about that, and I will come back to the guidance, let's not be too euphoric on that point, but it is positive. Main highlights before I pass the microphone on to Peter Kåsholm. Volumes up 8% out of, and this is one of the points where we're particularly proud and a little bit happy, organic growth in volumes up 7%. Our international footprint, mid to high growth markets versus low to no growth markets is improving, but it's still not what we want it to be. In that perspective, we believe 7% organic growth in volume is an achievement. Sales in Swedish krona down 2%, mainly driven by lower raw material prices. EBIT adjusted for acquisition costs of Unipro, nowadays AAK Turkey, up 15%, up 15%. If we adjust for foreign currency effects, FX effects, as a matter of fact, we're up 16%. EBIT per kilo up 6%. Earnings per share as reported up 19%. Net debt evolution since beginning of the year, -10%. Now Peter will walk you through all the details and with a specific focus on what is particularly good in this and some focus also what can be better going forward.
Thank you, Arne. Please flip on to page number four. As Arne mentioned, we had a quarter which was the all-time high quarter for AAK. We ended out with an operating profit of 303, which is an improvement of 11%. As was also mentioned, if you adjust for FX and the acquisition costs related to AAK Turkey, operating profit improved by 16%. Operating profit per kilo also improved, increased from 0.71 Q3 last year to 0.75, an improvement of 6%. If you look at each of the business areas, we have also good improvements in all business areas. Food Ingredients reached an operating profit of 211 million, up from 190 million last year, which is an improvement of 11%. And we were are now starting to see the expected improvement in the CCF, Chocolate and Confectionery Fats business, where the operating profit reached 105 million, up from 88 million. So this is an improvement of 19%. Also in our Technical Product and Feed business, we improved by 9% and reached an operating profit of 24 million. Please flip on to the financial summary page where you can see the quarterly trend development. Worth noting that the 8% improvement in volumes that you can see in the top left-hand bar chart actually also shows that we have an all-time high volumes for AAK in this this quarter. And if you look at operating profit in the top right-hand corner, you can see that the trend line for our operating profit growth is continuing to develop quite well. Similarly, the quarterly improvements on the operating profit per kilo is also developing well, and you can see actually that the operating profit per kilo was the highest for a Q3 that we have ever had. Please flip on to page number 6, where you can see the development in working capital. Also in Q3, we had a positive development in working capital, which means that if you look at your working capital days on a rolling 12-month basis, we've improved by 9 days since Q3 last year. And specifically in this quarter, we had a good improvement on the inventories, which ended up quite low, while both accounts receivable and accounts payable were rather stable. And then moving on to page number 7, the cash flow statement. You can see for Q3, cash flow from operating activities, including working capital, was 303 million. We had a small negative working capital change of 12 million, and we had in the quarter also a cash flow from investments of 329 million, which obviously is impacted by the acquisition of AAK Turkey. So for the quarter, the free cash flow was minus 26 million. If you look on and take a look at the year-to-date performance, you can see that we are basically on cash flow from operating activities in line with last year, at 1,092 million, and you can also see that the significant positive outflow from working capital in the first half of the year has been retained more or less so far at 335 million. However, as we've said before, we do expect to see a significant outflow of working capital in the fourth quarter, primarily related to the expected growth in the chocolate and confectionery parts of our business. If you move on to page number 8, you can see the development in raw material prices. There's been a slight dip on the palm side, which has now come back to basically more or less where the average for the year is. So we are not expecting to see any significant impact on our working capital situation out of the way the raw material prices have developed. Moving on to page number 9, also very positive development on our return on capital employed. You can see here, end of the quarter, we ended at 16.1%. The improvement driven by, obviously, EBIT improvement on a rolling 12-month basis, where we reached 1.091 million, but significantly also the reduction in working capital we just talked about, while fixed assets increased slightly compared to end of the year last year and also to the same quarter last year. So very positive development. And with those words, I give the microphone back to Arne Frank.
Thank you, Peter. We are moving on, ladies and gentlemen, to page 10. And let's talk a little bit about our business activities and our commercial business activities and their performance. And if we look upon this graph where we try to point out our three business areas and the total, And then we have divided the world in, shall we say, 8 regions: Nordics, Western Europe, UK, USA, Central Eastern Europe, former Soviet Union, Asia, and Latin America. You can basically see these being 2 blocks, but bearing in mind the Sandy disaster in the USA last year, I would like to describe this as either 2 blocks, but the border between the 2 blocks, one notch left of what you can see if you just watch the color codes, or we look upon it as 3 blocks. Let's talk about it as 3 blocks. So in the Nordics, in Western Europe, in UK, which is also part of Western Europe, most of the time at least, we would say that in difficult markets, we are maintaining or slightly improving our market shares. We are maintaining our business, and we are maintaining or slightly improving our market shares, and the business climate should be described as stable. Second category, US, same color codes, same graphical demonstration, but here we should bear in mind that exactly 1 year ago, one of our 3 factories representing 60% of our US activity or something like that was for 5 hours under 5 feet of salt water. And given the commercial consequences of such a dramatic event and being out of business with that factory for roughly 2 months, being stable in the US all in all is one of the performances we are the most proud of. And that means that without Sandy, the situation would have been definitively quite green arrows here. And we are coming back, and the parts of our business that was not so hurt by the Sandy disaster, they show good trends. And we are optimistic about our North American business. Central Eastern Europe, an important part for AIK, a mixed bag, a red arrow on certain FI products. We have been particularly not so bad at all on dairy fat alternatives here, and here we are not having so good trends. This is driven by tough price competition, and still a surprisingly high price on our products compared to what we are replacing, i.e. Milk fat and butter. So milk fat and butter still surprisingly low prices, and that gives this picture. On the other hand, this is also an important CCF market, and our good trends in CCF are coming in here. Same for what we call CIS, which is mainly our business in Russia, Ukraine, but also some other countries. And here we see relatively stable trends on FI, but a good uppick on the CCF business. And then the real growth markets, Asia, Southeast Asia, China, and Latin America, from Mexico through Brazil, Argentina, and so forth, all of those markets developing very nicely, and Asia is still a relatively small part of AAK, but now developing in a good way, and Latin America, particularly with Mexico and Brazil and some more, is a not at all insignificant part of AAK and all developing very, very nicely. So here you see a little bit the background of our 7% organic growth in volume. Moving on to some BA details. As Peter said, food ingredients up 11% in operating profit, up 12% FX adjusted. And we would say we are doing well in all categories. The geographical areas where we're doing particularly well, I just pinpointed. And speaking sub-segments, we are doing well basically in all categories, in all sub-segments, particularly infant nutrition,
Latin America, dairy fat alternatives and bakery, but also food service developed nicely in the quarter. And on infant nutrition, it's all of our products. It's the infant business we have in our joint venture, Advanced Lipids, together with our external partner, developing nicely, and also our infant blends also developing nicely. A question some of you might have is then, why is EBIT per kilo not up? And this is mainly explained by good organic growth in semi-specialities, which gives a little bit of a mix change. So underlying like-for-like, mix like-for-like, if that was possible to calculate in a precise way, I would say we maintain our good developments, but we do see a mix change here. Volume in the quarter organically is an impressive 9%. Volume up 12%, but organically 9%. And for semi-speciality and speciality, that number is even higher. So that is really encouraging. Page 12, the graphs, as you can see, a really impressive Q3, by far the best we've had in terms of operating profit, and in terms of operating profit per kilo, a good trend if we exclude Q4 2012 and maybe Q3 2012 also. So long term, we are optimistic that we can continue to develop our EBIT per kilo, even if the fantastic trend we had through 2010 and 2011 might be with a slightly lower pace. But a great achievement for our business area, Food Ingredients. Chocolate confectionery fats, a very intriguing picture. Operating profit up 19%, 19. FX adjusted up 22%, with stable volumes. We will comment on the price on cocoa butter. But of course, with the current situation on cocoa butter, our CBE business looks promising. Operating profit per kilo, a nice improvement also. Mathematically, of course, same, 19%, as the volume was stable. And if we look upon the graphs, we can see here now that this business is basically back to what it was 2010 and 2011, i.e. prior to the what we internally here in AAK call the cocoa butter crisis. And that's encouraging, and at this level we can perform in a satisfactory way. And then we can just speculate what will be the Q4 and 2014 performance here, but you will get some guidance or an effort to give some guidance in a few minutes. Same picture if we look upon operating profit per kilo. We are back to the 2010-2011 performance, which again in our internal language is called the era, the period prior to the cocoa butter crisis. So that's good news. Then comes the outlook on the cocoa butter price, page 15, where when I was new in AAK, many people told me that we were typically selling CBE at 80% of the cocoa butter price. That has maybe been correct at some point of time, but as you see, the price changes. And if this graph was over a longer period of time, which I believe we have had in previous conf calls, you can see that a typical price, even if it varies,
a typical price would be in the $4,000 to $5,000 range, in my opinion at least. And we can also see what we suffered end of 2011, 2012, and until recently. And here our teams have done a fantastic job selling on functionality, selling on customer co-development, selling on all the other CCF products in the complete range, and selling on the technical features of CBE, and that is something that will continue. But of course, you know our performance when cocoa butter was basically $2,400, $2,500, $2,700 per metric ton. And if we now can be stable north of $4,000 to $5,000, the future look good. The future looks good. And if the high price we see today is established over time, then future looks, of course, even better. Few words on our smallest business unit, Technical Products and Feed. A nice improvement of 9%, but from a relatively low level. You can see easily on the graphs here that we are quite stable since beginning of 2011. And you will also have some guidance here. But here this is a small business area. Good work is being done. Important customers are receiving, hopefully, important products from us. But this is not the business area that will create the big swing factor for AAK going forward. Execution, the name of the game is results, and the name of the game is execution. So you know our action-oriented description of our strategy, where we measure the results, but even more so we measure that we really do and execute all the actions we need. We know we need to execute to release our potential, and this is the main driver in the company. Here you have, for external purposes, not full transparencies in the KPIs, and as always, we try to give you a blended KPI between the results and the quantification and the measurement of the activities we are conducting. Basically, you don't see any swing factors since last quarter. If we look upon the growth side, on internal plans, non-smiley neutral yellow, we remind you, is on plan. And if we were all on plan, we would probably be doing even a little bit better than we are doing today. Most concerning is dairy fat alternatives, again, driven by surprisingly attractive prices on milk fat and cream and butter and so forth still. Most other things on plan, and our infant nutrition business or businesses all doing very nicely. That's basically the growth side. On the productivity side, at the Capital Market Day, we will give you some details, the soon upcoming Capital Market Days. We will give you some details on the productivity improvements at our largest sites, and we believe you will be a little bit impressed with what we have achieved here. But on the other hand, it's just according to plan on the productivity and then doing nicely still on purchasing, and that will remain a focus area. And then, you know, we have also been working very hard to reach our customers in a more proactive way, to reach our customers with clearer value propositions, to reach our customers in a more solution-oriented way, and the locomotive for all of this is, of course, our customer co-development approach, and all of that is also approving. Proceeding, improving according to plans. So, page 20, guidance. And here we have many words, so maybe some of you wonder why is there so many words here. and we have a good quarter here, and we are delivering according to our analysts, our well-educated and clever analysts' expectations. And maybe we are trying to say here that several quarters we have seen AAK deliver to expectations, and the result was that the expectations were increased. And maybe we are just trying to say that we are happy and proud we delivered according to expectations, and let's not be taken away by any kind of euphoria just because of that. So we have a reminder here that our fourth quarter last year was unusually strong, characterized by a very favorable product mix and also very, very unusually good production yields. So FI in the fourth quarter might be slightly lower than fourth quarter last year, but we still remain optimistic for the business area, and we have also an outlook here for what we believe year-end will be for FI. CCF, here we believe that the business area is expected to continue its significant growth, and TPF, I just mentioned, is not the entity that in the current Northern European, this is a very Northern European business, and in the current Northern European climate, we don't expect this business area to swing neither very much up or down. That's basically the guidance. So, as always with AAK, I believe, based on our value propositions on the health side and on the cost side, and our approach with customer co-development and customer solutions, and the strong drive for the AAK Acceleration Program, which is now into its final laps. We are now in the last quarter of AAK Acceleration, and that program has been very useful for us. We launched it in January, soon, 3 years ago, and in January 2014, we will launch our next company program that will take us hopefully to the next level, and we will present that program for you as soon as we have presented it to all our team members inside AAK, which I expect to be somewhere mid-January. So for all of this, we continue to remain prudently optimistic for the future with the main drivers as just explained and just commented. So no difference on that side either. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, Fredrik is also, before I stop the small presentation, reminding me that we should do a small pitch for page 23 and our capital market days. We again very welcome to a Scandinavian Capital Market Day in Stockholm, November 12, or another Capital Market Day presented in English language, or Swinglish, maybe some of you would say, in London on November 22nd. Those of you who have not signed up for these occasions, please don't miss this opportunity. And many of you do occasionally have very good questions that we occasionally/frequently try to pass, and sometimes we try to escape from your questions by saying we will address that at the Capital Market Day. So please don't miss this opportunity, and as always we will try to disclose a little bit more than we normally do and look a little bit more forward on our businesses and share a little bit more in detail what we are doing and why and how and so forth. So November 12, Stockholm, November 22nd, London, most welcome. With that, I believe I stop our small presentation, and we're all available for Q&As if you so wish, and we have another 25 minutes or so.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced by the operator. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the hash key. Once again, that's star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. Your first question comes from Casper Blom from Hanseldenbanken Capital. Please ask your question.
Thank you, Casper here. First of all, congrats with the strong results in the quarter. A couple of questions, please. Firstly, regarding infant nutrition, we saw Danone making a recall of their baby formula products in China on the back of a false alarm. Do you in any way see this changing how Chinese consumers view foreign brands going forward? Secondly, with regards to your working capital, I'm a little surprised and impressed by seeing inventories down, even though activity is now picking up. Peter, maybe you could give a few comments on that. And then finally, a question regarding food ingredients and the growth you've seen in semi-specialities. Should we in any way interpret this as your clients choosing to buy semi-specialities instead of specialities? Thank you.
Thank you, Casper. I try to take the first and the last questions, and in between, Peter will try on the working capital. Your first question is about, yes, in People's Republic of China, in food, foreign brands have not always, but often been seen as a superior quality, maybe a superior food safety dimension in certain cases. We have a balanced view on that. We are in a globalized world, and the event you referred to, we believe, without commenting, that particular company has maybe taken a little bit proportional media space and attention. We believe that China is a good market, there is good Chinese products, there is good foreign products, and it's important to have a quality brand, and that can be an international company, that can be a Chinese company, and we are optimistic on the Chinese market. Peter, working capital.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right that the development in Q3 on the inventory side was very strong. It was also stronger than we anticipated going into the quarter, actually. What we are saying, as I'm sure you've noticed, is that we do expect a significant outflow of working capital in the fourth quarter. So some of the improvement that we've seen during the year is going to flow out during the fourth quarter, reflecting, among other things, the increased activity level on the CCF side.
But there are no such special things driving down the inventory here in Q3?
No, I mean, I think, as we've said several times, this is something we focus on and we work hard with. So hopefully there's a little bit of impact of that. But I would say the improvement we've seen in Q3 has been, very strong. So don't anticipate that we can maintain that improvement.
Third question, semi-speciality instead of speciality in FI or maybe all of AAK. I believe, Casper, we can give you a clear, crisp, and straightforward no. That is not at all the case. The case is more that pure speciality, and we can debate the definition of that. That's a relatively small part of the world of vegetable oils and fats, which is maybe, we believe, Euromonitor, around 150 million metric tons globally. Then we take away the commodity business, the pure commodity business, which is not AAK's business, and then you have reduced the number by 50% or so. Of the remaining, real speciality is a relatively small part. And here we have a higher global market share than we have in semi-speciality. So when we push the accelerator and we try to reach new customers, and we go customer co-development, and we go solutions approach around the globe where we have factories within reasonable reach, by definition, likelihood, if the strategy works, and it does, we will see a big part of our growth being semi-speciality. That is probably the best
high-level answer we can give. We see no tendency whatsoever to customers purchasing semi-specialty instead of specialty.
Good to hear. Thanks for the answers.
Thank you, Kasper.
Thank you very much. Your next question comes from Bildar from Danske Bank Stockholm. Please go ask your question.
Hi, do you hear me?
Yes, we do, Bildar.
I've got two questions, both on CCF. Could you just elaborate a bit more what you've experienced during the quarter, and then also why was it the case that CCF performed so differently on the different markets, considering that most of your clients face the same cocoa prices, which are global, I presume?
Yes. What happened in the quarter? Volume stable, better mix, obviously our CBE offerings becoming more competitive compared to the alternative. Why do we see the reactions faster? Western Europe, Nordics, Western Europe and UK on one hand, and growth markets on the other hand, and then US in the middle, blurred by the Sandy consequences. But from this perspective, we could put US on the right-hand side. So if I'm overly simplistic, I would say from US and towards the right, with Central Eastern Europe, former Soviet Union, Asia and Latin America, here we have the people reacting quickly. Here we have the people being reactive, and then, as far too often in the old world, we do not react so quickly to changes. That's a simplistic view. We also have a 5% rule in some countries. We have a 7% rule in other countries, and. Maybe our CBE business picks up a little bit more quickly when there is less regulation around what you can call chocolate and what you cannot call chocolate and so forth. That's just a guesstimate from my side, Bile, because we are just in very early stages of the post-CB crisis era. So that's early estimates. But I would guess that what I tried to say, even if it's a bit imprecise, is not completely wrong.
Thank you. And then also, could you just give us a comment on the overall price discipline within this segment? I'm referring to your peers and how they performed during the crisis. And also, you've been quite successful in extracting costs from the CCF business. Should we expect new sort of a growth-related investments going forward?
Well, as always, I take the easy and pleasant questions, and Peter Corson take the difficult questions, or the questions where we unfortunately need to give you an unpleasant answer. So I pass the microphone to Peter.
Well, I would say when it comes to the pricing in the CCF business, we have throughout what we call, as Anna mentioned, the CCF crisis, tried to be reasonably disciplined. And that is definitely also our strategy going forward. So clearly we are focused on how to be disciplined in the way we price these products, and so far that is developing reasonably well.
Thanks. And then the about the costs, should we expect sort of a significant operational leverage, or do you plan to invest some of the proceeds or sort of a earnings contribution that you get from the increased volume and pricing?
Well, I mean, what we have said is that we've been running efficiency programs over a number of years, and we are still running efficiency programs, so that definitely stands. Obviously, should we come in the fortunate situation that there will be a very significant sort of uptick in volume demand, then there may be a need for some debottlenecking investments here and there. But I would say there's nothing of that sort which we expect to have a material impact on our overall CapEx levels for the coming years.
Okay, thanks. That's all for me.
Thank you, Bilal.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone. Your next question comes from Richard Koch from Kepler. Please ask your question.
Hi, Richard Koch at Kepler Cheuvreux. What impact on the returns do you expect from the higher working capital that you're guiding for, or basically what increase in working capital are you expecting?
Well, what we said at the mid-year was that we anticipated, you know, order of magnitude around half of the positive impact we've seen at the middle of the year to flow back out in the second half of the year. And, you know, that's probably around the order of magnitude that we're still anticipating.
Half of the 335, is it?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, okay. And secondly, are you still comfortable with your long-term EBIT growth target?
I mean, certainly we have no intention of changing the targets which we communicated in connection with the launch of AAK Acceleration. As you know, we do an annual update of where we stand when we adjust for acquisitions, when we adjust for FX, etc., and we are going to be doing that also at the upcoming Capital Markets Day.
So, Richard, just to be a little bit picky here, we need to be very clear with our semantics. We have been very, very focused on saying this is not a target, this is a management ambition. This is not a financial target decided by a board, and. We've been very clear on that. It's a management ambition. And both on that and on our international footprint and our mix between slow to no growth markets versus mid to high growth markets, we will, at our capital market days, as earlier indicated and promised, show you exactly where we are and try to develop a little bit on that in qualitative terms, and try to give you some flavor how we look upon those ambitions going forward. So again, please don't miss our capital market days in Stockholm and or London.
I won't. Thanks.
Good. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you very much. Your next question comes from Per Jorgensen from Investoring. Please ask your question.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. And from a long-term shareholder, I see a very pleasant development also in this quarter, so a very good job. Two questions, if I may. Arne, your comments on FI, that you're not no longer so much in commodity as before. If we take a look at the volume development in the business area food ingredients, is it fair to say that now we are reaching, let's say, a more normalized volume increase on the semi-speciality? That's my first question. My next question is regarding the CCF division. How do you see the dynamics when the price increases so much in the cocoa price? How are the dynamics from the customers? Do you have enough stock in your inventory and things like that? Could you elaborate a bit about how you see it when the prices increase so much, and can you allow the price for your product to increase a little bit less to gain market share, so to say? Thank you.
Thank you, Per. Thank you, and thank you for your nice words. We keep on working hard. We are very happy to see organic growth of 7%, total 9% in FI, more than 9 on semi-speciality and speciality. Can we promise and plan and budget for a 9% organic growth in FI going forward? I would really try to urge us all to be prudent. A much more modest performance would still give a very good outcome, I must say. And in food industry,
you normally do not see this kind of organic growth, and particularly not from companies that are still with a very limited presence in China and the rest of Asia. So I would urge for a little bit of prudence here, and we will do reasonably good anyhow. So I warn for any kind of euphoria here. We still have some commodity business. You will see exactly the numbers, November 12 and or 22. We have always said we will always have some commodity business, even if it's not a focus. Have we leveled out to the level we want to be? Difficult to say. I'm sorry, Per, I'm trying to answer your question, but I partly struggle. CCF dynamics, very difficult. Obviously, we cannot talk pricing of a single product in a call like this. Maybe some of you would be interested in that, but I'm not sure it's the right thing to do for many very serious different reasons. We've been selling quite a lot of CBE, even when CBE was more expensive than cocoa butter. So price elasticity downwards was not as dramatic as one could have feared. I think it's quite reasonable then that we assume that price demand elasticity, when it goes the other way, is neither as dramatic as one would like to hope. But of course, it is less difficult to attract a customer to evaluate CBE in today's market than before. And those markets where there is more flexibility between CBE and CB, we could maybe expect some additional demand. Difficult to say, but please, all the ladies and gentlemen, remember that price demand elasticity was not as dramatic as one could have feared when it went the wrong way. So we should probably prudently bear in mind that the price demand elasticity, when it goes the other way, is maybe not as dramatic as one could hope, but we believe it will be interesting enough.
Regarding the inventory, do you feel that you are fairly okay on that? Just that was one of my questions also, that if one should assume that some of your clients will be inclined to use more of your products, will you be able to produce, deliver what they want if you go into new contracts?
We're trying to plan for a balanced situation, and that's a little bit behind the guidance Peter just gave us on working capital and inventories, that we are planning to increase inventories in certain ways to some extent, and to an extent that will be visible in the Q4 numbers, we believe, in line to what Peter tried to express.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. Your next question comes from Patrick Setterberg from Nordea Copenhagen. Please ask your question.
Hello, gentlemen. A couple of questions from my side. I will take them one by one. The first one is related to the CCF division. I just wanted to hear how you believe the significant recovery will play out in terms of volumes and EBIT per kilo. I was a little bit surprised that we didn't see any pickup in volumes in the third quarter. Could you please elaborate on that? That is my first question.
Yes, I would say that our anticipation would be that we would be seeing improvements both on the volume side and on the EBIT per kilo side when the sort of significant recovery continues. You are right that in Q3 we were flat on volumes, but as we've also explained, we had mixed developments there that led us to the improvement in EBIT per kilo.
Okay, and my second question is regarding the capex you're spending in the quarter. Is the CapEx we're seeing in the quarter fully reflecting the purchasing price of Unipro? And in terms of regular maintenance CapEx, is that following the normal trend we're seeing over the year?
Yes, I would say so. The CapEx is in line with sort of normal type levels. When it comes to Unipro specifically, most of the impact of Unipro is in those numbers. There will be a slight impact also on the working capital line in Q4.
Okay, very good. And then my last question is regarding the return of the capital employed, which I believe is very impressive. You now reached a level that we talked about 1 year ago. I'm just wondering, where do you want to take this return on capital employed? How much can it go further up from here?
Thank you for your nice words, Patrick. And normally I delegate to Peter the difficult questions, but I cannot run away from all the difficult questions. So my classical pushback on a question like this is, why limit ourselves with that kind of numbers? But of course, the nice evolution we've had now since 3 or 4 years cannot continue endlessly. So first objective is to stay, to have organic growth, but maybe an organic growth in EBIT, but maybe with a stabilized or slightly improved ROCE. Of course, we are now taking a stance to take it to the next level, but how quickly that will be, I mean, Peter mentioned increased inventory levels, and so forth, but if we take a more mid-long-term perspective, there should still be space to improve some.
Okay, I suggest...
Maybe Peter want to add anything to the question.
No, but what I can also add to the question is obviously that as we've talked about before and as Anna went through when you looked at AAK acceleration, clearly some of the expansion plans that are on our radar screen could lead to a negative, at least short to medium term impact on the return on capital employed.
Okay, that's very good. But once again, the build up working capital should be quite is a short term effect. I'm more wondering if there's any need for expanding your production capacity when growing earnings in the CCF division.
I think most of what we would be needing to do, if there's a significant pickup in volumes, will be more like debottleneck type investments. But where we've said before that you could see more investments is obviously if we pursue entry into China and or Brazil.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, please press star 1 if you'd like to ask a question today. There are no further questions. Please continue.
So, thank you very much for attending this call, everybody. And thank you very much for your attention and support. And thank you very much for many good questions here. And again, please be very welcome to our Capital Market Days. And from this, we wish you a continued great day and hope to see you soon. All the best. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference call for today. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.